ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे यस्माज्जातम् जगत्सर्वम् यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदम् धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः अथ नवमोऽनुवाकः दिस् सेक्शन् ऐ लव् द वे स्वामीजि यूस् टु अन्फोल्ड् दिस् सेक्शन् ओके लेट् अस् रीड् बिफोर् वि एण्टर् इन् टु दिस् नवमः नवमोऽनुवाकः नवमः अनुवाकः You all know very well, Nava means nine. Nava Maha means ninth. Ordinals and cardinals, you do remember. Okay. Now, the whole section is going to present the essence of the Anandavalli, the entire section. So, Ananda Prakashakaha Mantraha. The Rig Mantra which is going to follow, which is presented in this ninth Anuvaka, is the mantra which reveals the nature of Brahman. Now, sir, Anandaha, the fullness of happiness. We'll see that. Before we do this, I want all of you to go back to the fourth Anuvakaha. Please, let us go back to the fourth Anuvakaha. And take the fourth Anuvaka mantra. The fourth Anuvaka also begins with the mantra. Can you go back to the fourth Anuvaka and take that mantra? Okay. I'm going to read the fourth Anuvaka mantra. You know why? What we have in the fourth Anuvaka, the same mantra is reproduced, presented again in the ninth Anuvakaha. Fourth Anuvaka mantra, ninth Anuvaka mantra is one and the same mantra. So, Bhagavad Pada did not write commentary on the fourth Anuvaka mantra, but he writes commentary on the ninth Anuvaka mantra. Therefore, we can understand Bhagavad Pada's unfoldment of the mantras or the fourth Anuvaka mantras and the ninth Anuvaka mantra together in the ninth Anuvaka. Okay. Yato vacho nivartante. Yato vacho nivartante. Apraapya manasasah. Apraapya मनसा सह आनन्दं ब्रह्मणो विद्वान् आनन्दं ब्रह्मणो विद्वान् न बिभेति कदाचनेति न बिभेति कदाचनेति तस्यैष एव शारीर आत्मा तस्यैष एव शारीर आत्मा यः पूर्वस्य तस्माद्वा एतस्मान्मनोमयात् तस्माद्वायेतस्मान्मनोमयात् अन्योन्तर आत्मा विज्ञानमयः अन्योन्तर आत्मा मा विज्ञानमयः तेनैष पूर्णः तेनैष पूर्णः सवायेष पुरुषविध एव सवायेष पुरुषविध एव तस्य पुरुषविधताम् तस्य पुरुषविधताम् अन्वयम् पुरुषविधः अन्वयम् पुरुषविधः तस्य श्रद्धैव शिरः तस्य श्रद्धैव शिरः ऋतं दक्षिणः पक्षः ऋतं दक्षिणः पक्षः सत्यमुत्तरः पक्षः सत्यमुत्तरः पक्षः योग आत्मा योग आत्मा महः पुच्छं प्रतिष्ठा महः पुच्छं प्रतिष्ठा तदप्येष श्लोको भवति सो यतो वाचो निवर्तन्ते अप्राप्य मनसा सह आनन्दम् ब्रह्मणो विद्वान् न बिभेति कदाचनेति लुक एट् दिस् दिस् वर्ड् कदाचनेति अलोन् विल् बि रीप्लेस्ड् बै कुतश्चनेति इन् दि नैन्थ् अनुवाकम् ओके न बिभेति कदाचनेति द सेम् इस् गोयिङ्ग् टु बि रीप्रोड्यूस्ड् द नैन्थ् अनुवाक बट् न बिभेति कुतश्चनेति द चेञ्ज् इस् ओन्ली आफ् द वन् वर्ड् कदाचनेति विल् बि रीप्लेस्ड् बै कुतश्चनेति इन् दि नैन्थ् अनुवाक नौ लेट्स् कम् बेक् टु नैन्थ् अनुवाक यतो वाचो निवर्तन्ते अप्राप्य मनसा सह आनन्दम् ब्रह्मणो विद्वान् न बिभेति कुतश्च नेति एतगुं हवा एतम् एतगुं हवावनतपति किमहगुः साधुना करवम् किमहम् पापमकरवमिति स य एवम् विद्वानेते आत्मानगुस्पृणुते उभे हे वैष एते आत्मा आत्मानगुस्पृणुते य एवम् वेद इत्युपनिषत् यतो वाचो निवर्तन्ते अप्राप्य मनसा सह आनन्दम् ब्रह्मणो विद्वान् न बिभेति कुतश्च नेति अण्टिल् देन् ऋग्मन्त्र इस् इट् क्लियर् नौ देर् यतो वाचो निवर्तन्ते अप्राप्य मनसा सह आनन्दम् ब्रह्मणो विद्वान् न बिभेति कदाचनेति दट् पोर्षन् आफ् दि फोर्थ् अनुवाक इस् अ ऋग्मन्त्र अण्ड् दिस् पोर्षन् आफ् दि नैन्थ् अनुवाक इस् अ ऋग्मन्त्र सो ऋग्मन्त्र अलोन् इफ् यु टेक् फ्रोम् दि उपनिषत् इस् द रेस्ट् आफ् दि पोर्षन्स् ऋग्मन्त्र अलोन् इफ् यु टेक् द टू द चेञ्ज् इस् ओन्ली आफ् दिस् टू वर्ड्स् कदाचनेति कुतश्चनेति सेम् मीनिङ्ग् ओके नोडटसीडि नैन्त् अनुवाकः सो हियर् इन् दिस् नैन्त् अनुवाक आल्सो वाट् वि अण्डर्स्टाण्ड् इनिशियलि बिफोर् वि गो टु द text we understand moksha is our choiceless goal and moksha being a choiceless goal moksha has to be attained But moksha is something which cannot be attained. It has something to be discovered, because moksha is the nature of the reality. So in order to discover moksha, reality has to be discovered. And to discover the reality again, Upanishad says this reality of the universe has to be discovered as one's own self, as the nearest truth, as the very true swarupam of I. Therefore, Atma Jnanam is Brahma Jnanam. Brahma Jnanam is Moksha Jnanam. Moksha Jnanam is Moksha Praptihi. So attainment, discovery of the freedom as the nature of the reality, obtaining as the nearest self, is the attainment of Mokshaha. Then, therefore, that part we understand easily. And this reality implied by the term Brahman cannot be attained, because it is the very truth, existence, the nature in inner essential nature of every being, every individual. Therefore, Brahman is as though attained by a wise person who has discovered the truth, and Brahman is as though unattained for an ajnani, ignorant person. So the jnani, the wise person who has discovered Brahman as one's own self, has attained Brahman as it were. An ignorant person has not attained Brahman as it were, even though Brahman is the very essence, the very truth of ajnani and ajnani. Brahman is the truth of everything that is here, the entity of the universe. Therefore, Brahman is one thing which can never be attained, something to be discovered. That's why ajnani also cannot attain Brahman. Jnani also cannot, need not attain Brahman. So the person who knows Brahman being one's own Swarupam has attained it as it were. The person who does not know the Brahman being one's own self has not attained it as it were. This also we understand here. And here in this open, in this particular section, and also in the fourth section mantra, the Rig mantra of the fourth section, the Rig mantra of the ninth section, Upanishad reveals this, that Brahman is a presence figuratively. Here, mind, as though Brahman is running, and mind is running after the Brahman, after Brahman, to catch Brahman. And also the words also trying to catch Brahman, okay? And they fail. They try to run after Brahman. They return without catching Brahman. What it means is, mind, Brahman is not available for thought conception. Mind cannot conceive the reality. And words cannot describe reality. Mind, which is capable of grasping everything, anything, is incapable of grasping Brahman as an object. And also the words also, which are capable of describing, revealing anything, they also fail in describing, in revealing Brahman. So that incapacity of the mind and the words, even if they work together in revealing Brahman, is figuratively mentioned in this mantra, that words and mind try to reveal Brahman, but they return, they fail in their effort of revealing Brahman. Okay. So here, yato vacho nivartate. Vachaha nivartante. Words return. What can words do? To understand, a word is a means of knowledge. Padam, shabdaha. Shabdaha, a word in Sanskritam is called shabdaha. A word uttered should convey something. Therefore, shabdaha, any sound expressed, any sound heard gives some understanding in the mind. The meaning is understood, then it is a meaningful sound. Artha purnaha shabdaha padam. What is a padam? A word is sound. A meaningful sound is a word. Any word is a sound. A word is a sound. It's a meaningful sound. It is a word. So, Swamiji used to say this. If you say chair, a table, then when you hear the word, it's a meaningful word. Swamiji used his own expression, gagabugai, kaimi. Some sound you hear, now no meaning is understood. So, a meaningless sound. So, word is a sound, but a meaningful sound. So, the words try to reveal Brahman, but they fail. They're not able to reveal Brahman. Why? We understand here. Words can describe, thereby they can help us understand things. But for the words to be capable of revealing something, they must be able to describe something, and they can describe an object only if an object belongs to a given species. It must belong to some species or the other. It's called jatihi. If any given object belonging to a given species can be described by a word. Now we'll take it. What about this Brahman? The abstract, formless, all pervasive reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, doesn't belong to any jati. Therefore, Brahman cannot be described. So word fails in its effort of trying to describe Brahman. At least, no jati. Does Brahman have any attribute, any quality, gunaha? No. Words can describe objects having attributes, qualities. Brahman, this being all pervasive reality, is absolutely attributeless. Therefore, words cannot describe Brahman. Jatihi nasti, gunaha nasti. Then, is it a substance which can be, any substantive can be used to reveal it? No. Brahman is not a substance. Na dravyam, na jatihi, na gunaha, na dravyam. It's not a substance. Okay, at least an object associated with some action or the other, some function or the other can be described by a word. But Brahman is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Because it is subtlest reality, therefore it is all pervasive. Being all pervasive, it is motionless. Being motionless, it is not. It is of the nature of actionlessness. Therefore, Brahman is not associated with any action or whatsoever. So, Brahman, actionlessness being the nature of the reality, Brahman, word cannot describe Brahman. So, no kriya. Then, an object having some connection, some association, Sambandha with something or the other can be described. But Brahman being the only reality, there is no second parallel reality which is other than Brahman, which can, that way Brahman can have any connection. Therefore, because of connectionlessness, there is no association on the part of Brahman with anything. No association is possible. Absolutely, there is no second equally parallel reality with which Brahman can have any connection. Therefore, Sambandha also is not there. So, Jatihi Gunaha Kriya Dravyam Sambandha. These are the five factors. An object which has any of these five factors, or few of the five factors, or at least one of the five factors, can be somehow described by words. Brahman does not have any of these five factors. Therefore, Brahman cannot be described by words. Therefore, words are utterly incapable of revealing Brahman. That is what is said here. Yato vacho nivartante. Vachaha nivartante. Words try to go near, catch Brahman, but they return, they fail in being able to reach Brahman, in revealing Brahman. Vachaha nivartante. Yataha means what? The Brahman, the absolute reality is, Brahman is that from which, yataha, from which words return, being incapable of revealing Brahman. So not only words return, the words function, always words work with mind. Therefore it is said, apra apyamanasa saha. Along with the mind, words return. With words, with aprapya, not having reached Brahman, not having arrived at Brahman, not being capable of revealing Brahman, along with the mind, words return. Manasa saha, vachaha, aprapya nivartante. Words return along with the mind without having arrived at Brahman. So Brahman is that from which words return along with the mind without having reached. Okay, now next word is what? Manasa. So, mind. So, what all can the mind reveal? Let us see here. Mind can reveal objects which are perceptible directly through sense organs. Mind can reveal the objects which are described by words. Mind can conceive even things which cannot be revealed by words. Mind can conceive even things which cannot be perceived through sense organs. Please understand what all mind can conceive. Mind is meant for conceiving. Mind is capable of conceiving objects perceptible through sense organs. We know very well. Mind can conceive of things which cannot be perceived through sense organs also. Example, what is the example here? Now, Veda Shastram talks about using words Vedashastram presents the description of the heaven, how heaven is, and how there are celestial musicians, Gandharvas, there are celestial dancers, Apsaras, etc., and how there's how heaven is, etc., using the words Vedashastram describes, presents the heaven. And then where the heaven is something our sense organs cannot, sense organs do not have any access. Because sense organs do not have any access to the heaven. So what cannot be revealed by the sense organs also, mind can conceive when they are described by words. When the things imperceptible, sensorily imperceptible things described by words, mind can conceive. Then, even things which words cannot describe, mind can conceive. Mind can conceive certain objects which words cannot describe. And mind can conceive through sense organs. What's the example? Now, our emotions are there. Our emotions, desire. We can understand, mind can conceive, mind, desire is a subtle object. Mind can conceive that desire, the meaning of the word desire. But you cannot, words cannot describe what a desire is. Mind can conceive anger, the emotion, in terms of anger. Words cannot describe anger. Even though emotions can be expressed verbally, I mean, no, in form of some, are expressed physically also, but they can be described. Suppose this love is there, that can be expressed. How? By using some nice words. So love is an emotion which can be expressed orally, some through nice words, soft words, kind words. It can be expressed physically also by giving something, by appreciating, but it cannot be described. Expressing physically and verbally is different from describing it. Anger can be expressed orally, verbally, shouting and screaming. It can be expressed physically also by breaking something. But it cannot be described what anger is. So emotions are understood through their emotions are expressed physically and orally, but they are not, they cannot be described. Therefore, emotions which cannot be described by words also can be conceived by mind. And even objects which are perceptible through sense organs, certain objects can be conceived by mind, but words cannot describe. For example, even sound, you can sound. How was the singing? It was very beautiful. Still, you can talk about these ragas and all. We can all express all those things. People do describe what is heard and what is seen, etc. Now, what is tasted? Okay, mind can conceive the tastes perceived through the tongue, but words cannot describe the tastes. saltiness, how salty, what is saltiness? What is sweetness? What is sourness? The tastes of tastes can be, the object called taste. Taste can be, the word taste can be uttered. But what exactly is sweetness, what exactly is saltiness cannot be described. Whereas can mind can conceive the tastes through the tongue, but words cannot describe those tastes. If somebody wants to know how salty it is, you have to put the salty object into the thing into the mouth of the person. How sweet it is less sweet or more sweet, you have to put it in the mouth of other person. For you to know, you have to put it into your own mouth. Which means mind can conceive where words fail to be capable, fail to describe. So mind is highly capable of conceiving perceptible objects, imperceptible objects, describable objects, indescribable objects also mind can conceive. But still, such great mind fails when it tries to conceive Brahman. Why? Because mind is not in the form of a thought. Brahman is not in the form of a thought. Brahman is not an object of thought. Therefore, mind fails. What all can the mind conceive? We know very well now. The one thing which mind cannot conceive is its own truth. Because this absolute reality, Brahman, is the very existence of the mind. Just as water is the existence of the entire ocean, thereby water is the existence of all the waves which constitute the ocean. Here, absolute reality, Brahman, is the very existence of the entire mind, of every existence of every thought, all the thoughts which constitute the mind. Very truth, very swarupam. Mind fails in revealing Brahman. I remember an example of Swami Chinmayananda using the torchlight. These days we don't use this. Torchlight can be used to see many things, but you cannot see the batteries put inside the torchlight. Using the same light, remove the lid and get it batteries outside, torchlight cannot function. The same way here, it is Brahman happens to be the very truth of the mind. Mind is incapable of conceiving Brahman. So mind also fails. The way it is said here, Vachaha Nivartante Manasasaha. Words fail, being incapable of revealing Brahman, along with the mind. So mind also fails, being incapable of conceiving Brahman, the reality. So what is Brahman? Brahman is that from which words return along with the mind without having reached. It means without being capable of revealing Brahman. Yato vacho nivartante apra apya manasasaha. Anandam brahmano vidvam. Now, we understand, Anandam brahmano vidvam. So So Vidwan here means the person who knows. Ajnani is Vidwan. Brahmanaha Anandam Vidwan means the person who knows the nature of the reality Brahman being limitlessness, obtaining as one's own nature, that person. Brahmanaha Anandam Vidwan. The person who knows the nature of the absolute reality being limitlessness as one's own nature, that person na bibheti, does not fear at all. Kutaschana. Kutaha is an indignable word, interrogative term. Kutaha has two meanings. One meaning is what? Why. Kutaha means from where. Kutaha means from where. Kutaha means why also. But kutaschana, when you say, when you add the chana, kutaschana, kutaschana, kutaschana na bibheti, does not fear at all from anything. The verb, the fear always goes the fifth case in Sanskrit. You can say, does not become frightened of anything, we can say. The person does not fear at all from anything. Which means, does not fear at all of anything. From anywhere. Na vibheti kutaschaneti. Which means, the person discovers fearlessness as the very nature of the truth, Brahman. And Brahman, he discovers Brahman as one's own self. Therefore, the person discovers fearlessness as one's own nature. Why does fearlessness? Because the person discovers secondlessness as the nature of reality. There's no second thing other than Brahma. One's own self is Brahma. Therefore, there's no second thing other than the self. The person sees one's own self being Brahman. Thereby, the person sees one's own self as everything. Aham sarvam khalu idam Brahma. Aham idam sarvam. I, the self, am the whole. So, from the standpoint of the abstract reality consciousness, the person sees the entire world of objects being non-separate from the self, the consciousness, Brahman. So there's no second thing, secondlessness. Why there's no second thing? Because being one is the nature. Ekatvam brahmanaha swarupam. Advitiyatvam brahmanaha swarupam. Therefore, there's no bhaya hetuhu. There's no reason for fear. Bhaya hetuhu is not there. Therefore, there's no fear. So, ekatvat advitiyatvat. Then, what about this? There's an appearance. There's a consciousness alone is not there. We also have mind. We also have jagat. We also have this world of body, mind, and scorpion, everything. Come on. This matter in the form of the entirety of the body, mind, and complex is not countable as a second thing. Because even though it is not a parallel reality, it is not countable as a second thing because it has no independent existence. It exists only in the presence of Brahman. Without Brahman, the world can never have independent existence at all. For some time, the manifestation of knowledge is not there. Finished. Sometime the manifestation of jnanam is not there. Even then, the world remains resolved in darkness of ignorance, and it remains as as though it is non-existent. The world shines only when there is manifestation of knowledge. And if there's no manifestation of knowledge, world will remain covered in darkness and losing its status of being existent. That's what happens every day when we are fast asleep, the world disappears for us. Why? Because there's no manifestation of knowledge. The manifestation of knowledge is possible for the world to come to light only because there is a source of manifestation of knowledge. So the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, abstract reality, which is of the nature of knowing, is always there, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, with its power of knowing, as a source of it, the power. Therefore, whenever there's manifestation of the Brahman knowledge, the world shines. The manifestation is not the world results. So the world of the five elemental model, the universe, is totally dependent on the manifestation of knowledge, the source of which is Brahman, for its very existence. It has no independent existence at all. Therefore, it is not countable as a parallel reality. The world is what? Just an appearance, manifestation of knowledge. You have to reduce the entire material world as manifestation of knowledge. Just as the world of opaque things should be understood as the reflection of light, the world of material, elemental objects should be understood as the manifestation of jnanam. It's just the jnanam which alone shines as innumerable, countless forms and names which constitute the whole cosmos. Therefore, what? There's no bhaya hetuhu. It's a mithya. There's no bhaya hetuhu. So, ekatvat, advitiyatvat, advayatvat, due to the non-duality of the reality, due to the secondlessness of the reality, due to the oneness of the reality, second thing is not there. For a wise, in the vision of a wise person, there is no second thing, second reality, other than Brahman. Therefore, there's no fear. So, Brahmanaha Anandam Vidwan, the person who knows Brahman's nature, being, fullness, limitlessness, and who knows that, who claims that nature is one's own nature, that person, na bibheti kutaschana iti, does not fear at all of anything. Etaghavavanatapati kimahagsadhuna karavam. Actually, kimahag, that actually, for knowing the meaning, we say kim aham. Kimahagsadhuna karavam kimaham papamakaravamiti. So, sahana tapati, evam ha vava na tapati, evam ha vava na tapati. See, tapati means scorches. So, here we say suryaha tapati. But here, the person does not become scorched. Even though there's a direct verb, scorches is the meaning of the word tapati. This person does not become emotionally scorched. Na tapati. That the person does not burn with the emotional pain. Therefore, natapati, which means yetam ha vava natapati, the person, no pain scorches this person. No pain harasses, scorches, torments this person. Yetam means this person, this jnani, in whose vision all that is there is only the self, in whose vision there is no second thing other than the self, for him there is no fear, and no emotional pain scorches him, torments him. Etam ha vava natapati. That vava is what does not scorch him at all, does not torment him at all. Vava, ha vava, not at all. The person is absolutely free from any form of emotional pain. There's no more adhyatmika tapaha. There's no more adhidaivika tapaha. No more adhibhautika tapaha. Tapatrayat nivruttaha. Tapaha means what? I told you many times, explain this. Emotional pain is also said to be heat, tapaha. So just as Surya Bhagavan's heat, sun's heat scorches leaves, etc. The emotional pain scorches the mind of a person. Therefore, pain is said to be tapaha. It scorches the mind. The pain scorches. Therefore, it's tapaha. And we said the pain is the same. Emotional pain is the same. It scorches. But it caused by obstacles arising from three different sources. Therefore, Shastram talks about tapatrayam. And to get rid of the tapatrayam, to get rid of the pain caused by obstacles arising from three different sources, we say three times shanti whenever we recite shanti mantra. Om shanti shanti shanti. So adi bhautika tapaha, adhyatmika tapaha, adi daivika tapaha. Pain is the same. Emotional pain, mental pain, agony. But it's caused by some obstacle, obstruction or ityadi. And for me, the source is only that many three different sources. The word tapaha. Tapaha is a noun. And tapati. So scorches. And now, no such pain. There neither adhyatmika tapa, nor adhibhautika tapa, or adhidevika tapa. No tapa, no obstacle, no pain scorches this person, jnani. No pain scorches him at all. Yetam ha vava na tapati. And always there's a guilt and hurt. Guilt is also pain, hurt is also pain. The person is free from guilt and hurt. Omissions and commissions of others towards oneself cause hurt. Omissions and commissions of one's own self towards others cause guilt. And the jnani is free from both guilt and hurt. So it is said here, kimaham sadhuna karavam. Kimaham sadhuna karavam. See, sadhu, a good thing, a punya karma. Kim aham na akaravam. Akaravam means what? I did. Na akaravam, I did not do. Kim na akaravam, oh my God, why I did not do this right thing? Why did not do the right thing? So there's a guilt of having omitted something right. something appropriate. Guilt of having omitted something appropriate and right. Kim aham sadhuna karavam. Why I did not do what is appropriate, what is good? Why did I omit the right things which I should not have omitted? This, so the person is free from the guilt of having omitted what is appropriate and right. Kimaham papam akaravamiti. Aham kim papam akaravam. I did commit a sin. Why did I do this? Okay. So here, commission, the person is free from the pain in the form of the guilt of having committed something wrong. The commission of something wrong. Kimaham papam akaravam. Why did I do something wrong? Papa karma. The person is free from the guilt of having omitted what is appropriate. The person becomes free from the guilt of having committed what is something inappropriate. The sinful action. Now we have to supply here. Not only the person is free from guilt, the person is free from hurt also. The hurt also is the worst pain. I tell you, hurt can go into your subconscious and sit there, and it can come up surface in some given situations. My God, there's no connection. The hurt is worst. So whenever we get hurt from childhood, Pujya Swami explains beautifully, from childhood, we do get hurt in different occasions because of our ignorance, because of our innocence, because of our lack of understanding, because of immaturity. We do have accumulate hurt. And the hurtfully, no, the hurt, the experience goes to subconscious and remains there. And in similar such situations when we go through again later on after many, many years also, the same similar situations but different thing, okay? There's no need for us to get hurt at all. Even after many years, and in a given situation, the person's hurt surfaces from subconscious. The person feels so hurt and offended, which a person could have simply avoided, ignored it. It is not the new, fresh hurt. The old hurt, the person which has in subconscious, which surfaces in the present situation, the present incident or situation becomes nimittam for the old hurt to surface. And cannot handle. The person is hurt, the person suffers the hurt, and you can see that hurt becomes expressed in one's words, in one's behavior. Again, it can cause further damage also if other person... No, it's possible. What I'm saying, the hurt is worst. Whereas this person is free from the pain in the form of hurt also. No more hurt, no more guilt. Jnanam relieves a person totally from the hold of hurt and guilt. Because of the right perspective. And because of seeing everything as the truth, which is one's own self. There's no vision without seeing oneself being the only truth. There's no vision otherwise. One has to see that one's own truth being the truth of everything, thereby one must see one's own self being everything. Otherwise, there's no vision of the truth. There's no jnanam otherwise. That is why it is not simply saying consciousness, consciousness, you are consciousness, I am consciousness, everything is consciousness. It's not simply saying. It is something which has to be clearly understood. So we are so much dependent on this pramanam choicelessly, shastra pramanam. Kimahagasadhunakaravam kimaham papamakaravamiti. I think I need to keep it for next week. Okay. I tell you one thing. Jnanam is the only means of resolving the subconscious mind. There's no way of resolving the subconscious. Counselings, temporary counselings can help sometimes, temporarily, to handle. But absolutely jnanam will help a person resolve the subconscious. We don't undo subconscious. Puja Swamiji, that's why he used to say this. You know, vasanas, vasanakshaya. We need not work for vasanakshaya. Vasanakshaya will happen if the jnanam is there. I have to resolve all my vasanas to get jnanam. No. Vasanakshaya is not required. If jnanam is there, vasanakshaya will happen effortlessly. So, what being free from affliction, pain, I'm not talking about the physical pain, emotional pain. Being free from affliction, pain means being mature. So maturity is equal to painlessness. Maturity implies jnanam. So knowledge, without knowledge there is no total absolute maturity. Knowledge is absolute total maturity. And the total maturity is painlessness, sorrowlessness, which is freedom from pain, which is freedom. So, a human maturity becomes complete only in discovering one's own essential nature, being the only truth, Brahman of the whole cosmos. Sarvam jnane parisamapyate. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.